This is chapter 4, Nutrition, Menu Planning and Costing, starting on page 50 of your revision guide. Okay, within this section, we're going to look at the key nutrients and the basic knowledge you need to have on those. We're then going to look at menu planning. And within menu planning, this is going to be related to things like special diets, specific occasions, and the things that a chef would need to consider when approaching planning of a menu. And this is often for really big essay questions, so we'll look at that. And then we'll also look at costings and all the different bits of theory that relate to that. Okay, so to start with, on page 50 and 51, we've got our five key groups. Now, you might remember this as the hand of nutrition, because you've got your protein, carbs, fats, vitamins and minerals, the top five. Okay, we've also got fiber and water that have been included in here as well. And my advice would be to create a little revision card using the hand of nutrition as a guide. And then for each one, think about the main functions and some sources to go with each one. So for protein, we've got growth and repair of body cells and tissues. We've got a little bit of information then to do with high biological value proteins. These are from animal sources, things like meat, fish and eggs. And we've also got low biological value proteins. These are from plants. And these are things like nuts, cereals and pulses. Carbohydrates, they come in two forms, our complex and our simple. Complex are our starchy carbs. These are our carbs that are slow releasing in energy in things like pasta and rice. And then we've got our simple carbohydrates, which are made from sugars. And these are things that we would find within things like cakes, jams, and sweets. And they are quick releasing, so give you short bursts of energy. So both forms of carbs obviously give you energy, but it's the complex ones that give you slow releasing. And they're obviously also the ones that are involved in bulking out foods, making you feel full. Okay, now fats. We've got two types of fats. We've got saturated and unsaturated. If a question's talking about how can we make something healthier, it's referring to reducing saturated fat. And saturated fats are things like butter, cheese, and meat, lard, things like that. Unsaturated come from plant sources. And this is things like seeds, sesame oil, vegetable oil, sunflower oil. And these are much healthier forms of fats. And fats in the human body are there to provide you with a secondary source of energy, but are predominantly there for insulation, to keep you warm, and to protect your organs. Vitamins and minerals are we don't need quite so much of in our diet, and therefore sort of maintaining bodily functions. And if you have a look on page 51, it just covers the main vitamins, A, the B group vitamins, C and D, and it also covers the minerals, iron and calcium. Now, all of this information on page 50 and 51, you may well get very short questions on. For example, name two sources of iron, all right? Or you might get a bigger question where you're asked to suggest why a meal would be healthy, and then you'd have to be able to associate certain ingredients with certain nutrients. Now, beyond that, it's extremely rare, and we haven't had a question for a very long time that asks you to talk about the function of nutrients. So I wouldn't worry about this page, 50 and 51, to be something to concentrate on within your revision, but maybe something to just go over, highlight, and produce a revision card using the hand of nutrition, as I discussed earlier. Now, you've got some practice questions on page 52 and 53, but also within section 4 of your revision PowerPoint, there'll be some questions on nutrition. Not a huge amount, as I've said that it's only a very minor topic within the actual exam. Okay, the next two pages, 54 and 55, are much more important with regard to the exam. Not only are they pieces of research within their own right, but they both also link to special diets and menu planning. Okay, so really significant, all the theory on 54 and 55 linked to menu planning, because they give us information that we would then include within an answer if we were providing for the needs of somebody, which is in essence planning. So that's menu planning. Okay, so on page 54 it talks about healthy eating, and we know that our government guidelines for healthy eating is low in fat, sugar and salt, high in fiber, and then high in fruits and vegetables. We should also drink a lot of water as well, as that's really good for us. We've got an example there of the Eat Well plate, and you should have learned this as well within your books. And obviously with the Eat Well plate, it's based on proportions for a balanced diet, what would be a healthy diet, with the idea being that we'd have lots of complex carbs, lots of fruit and vegetables, but very small amounts of fatty and sugary foods, with then some moderate amounts of protein and moderate amounts of dairy foods. Okay, at the bottom of page 54, it talks about unhealthy eating. And obviously within this, it talks about the implications of if we have too much carbs, too much fats, too much sugar. So go down through this, highlight some keywords. And when you're producing a little revision card on healthy eating, maybe on one side, you should talk about how we do it. And then on the other side, what happens if we don't achieve a healthy diet. Okay, page 55. It's just going down through three or four specific special diets. Okay, and remember, everybody has a diet because the word diet means an intake of food and drink. So for it to be special, there's got to be some rules applied. And this might mean that somebody either can't eat a certain food or doesn't want to eat a certain food. And we call this preference and medical. So we either choose to be on a special diet because we choose not to eat meat, or we choose to want to lose weight, or we have to be on a diet, so that would be a medical diet, and that might be because we are intolerant to a certain ingredient, or for example, if our bodies are poorly in a certain way, and therefore we need to eat certain foods to make us healthier, or avoid certain foods which might make us more unhealthy. So for example, if we've got liver disease, or if we've got heart problems, we would want to be avoiding things that are high in fat and high in salt because they would only make our problems worse. Okay, so we've got information about vegetarian diets there, and you should have done lots of theory related to special diets, and you should obviously recognize that there's more than one type of vegetarian. In the exam, don't talk about demi or semi-vegetarians, so people who occasionally eat meat, don't even mention those. We're going to think of a vegetarian as someone who doesn't eat meat. Okay, and obviously a vegan is therefore someone who doesn't eat meat or fish or eggs or any form of dairy product either. All right, so make sure that you're very clear on this distinction between the two. And clearly for a vegetarian then, it's a fairly straightforward special diet to understand. But as a chef, we would want to make sure that we've got lots of suitable alternatives to meat. So things like corn, tofu, peas, lentils, beans, interesting foods that we can use within a variety, and we can then put lots of different things within our dishes to make them exciting. What we don't want to do is just say we'll take out the meat and we'll put some grated cheese on the top as a kind of like a stock answer for how we're going to make something vegetarian. We definitely want to include a wider range of sources of protein than just cheese or eggs. Okay, it also mentions underneath it gluten intolerance. These are people who are celiacs, nut allergies, and lactose intolerant. And you want to make sure you go down through each of those and highlight some key points and produce a revision card for special diets. Okay, now would be a good time to stop and actually reflect on the notes that you also have in your book with regard to special diets and to produce a revision card on that. Okay, once you've done that, you can also have a go at the questions on 56 and 57 within the book. And obviously, you can go through the revision PowerPoint squares and have a go at some of those questions as well. And that's still on Chapter 4 within your revision PowerPoint. Okay, as I said, that previous information on 54 and 55 also relates to menu planning. Because clearly, you might get a question in the exam that might say, plan a menu for someone who wants to eat healthily. Plan a menu for someone who is on a special diet. So the theory from those pages also relates to what we're going to talk about in a moment. Now on page 58 and 59, this is some of the most important information that you need to remember with regard to the exam, because this is so common a question that will come up. So this is an absolutely essential page. I want you not just to read it, highlight it, I want you to create revision cards, I want you to think about strategies and ways in which you can use it. It's massively, massively important. Okay, so it talks about how we'd actually go about planning our menu. And remember, I said this is not about designing it, it's about choice of foods on the menu. Now within each of the sections within these two pages, they've got really good information about how you'd go about doing that. Obviously, starting off with making sure that it's nutritionally balanced, thinking about your colors, flavors, and textures. Have a read through that, make sure you know exactly what that is. Time of year, this refers to seasonality. Okay, so what's available in certain seasons? The skills of the chef, you know, what are they actually capable of doing? What's their specialism? What equipment do I have available? What size is my actual establishment? Okay, the actual type of the outlet and the actual time available. So the type of outlet, it might be small, it might be a cafe. At the same time, it might be a hospital kitchen, it might be a restaurant, it might be a pub. That will have a large influence on how I plan my menu. Also, we've got things like the appeal to the customer, making sure it's actually you know, sorts of things that they like. When we're opening a new establishment, the most important thing is understanding what the local people actually want. Also, with regard to this exact same thing, is the cost. How much are these foods going to cost to make? Am I going to be able to make a profit? Are my local people going to want to pay that much for the food? Are they going to be able to afford it? Making sure you provide for what your customer needs and wants is essential in being successful with a business. And menu planning is the first and most important thing that you're going to do and need to get right if you want your business to be successful. Lastly, we've obviously got to think about special dietary requirements and obviously if there's any multicultural needs. Now, you've done a lesson on this within your books as well, so go back through your notes and have a look at some of the other things that a chef might consider when planning a menu. And go over these two pages in great depth and detail, because they're going to give you lots and lots of ideas for how to approach menu planning. And you would then obviously need to be able to apply this to lots of different scenarios that might come up within the exam. Okay, so on page 60, the first thing it mentions is the different types of menu. Again, this is something that you should have learned within your course. And we've got table d'hote and a la carte. Table d'hote is a set menu. It's made in advance. It's got a fixed price. It's got limited choices. So it's quite easy to prepare as a chef and as a sort of a restaurant or a pub, because in essence, we don't cook the food when the customers come in. The food is already cooked. So it's quick, it's simple, it's very efficient. We don't need as much skills. And we're probably not going to charge as high a price. We're going to have a set price. So, for example, two courses for £10, three courses for £15. And it's pretty straightforward. The a la carte, which means cook to order, is a lot more difficult. All the items are sold separately. They're often a lot more expensive. Because they're cooked to order, they're fresh. This can lead to some really big problems, because if you've got five people on a table and they all want something different, then you have one chef or a couple of chefs making the food, it's clearly going to be really tricky to get all that food out at the same time. So it can often lead to large queues. It can often lead to problems with service, people waiting a long time for their food. But in essence, a la carte food should be of a higher quality because it's using fresher ingredients. But it also requires a much higher skilled chef in order to produce it. Now, when we're actually then thinking about what's going to go on the menu, this is what menu planning is all about. Menu planning is not about what the menu looks like. It is about what foods we're actually going to put on the menu itself. All right. And when we're actually approaching menu planning, we need to think about how we're going to meet the needs of all of our different customers. Okay. So if you notice down on the bottom of page 60, it talks about a child's menu. Now, this is a specific target audience group, and exam board loves questions on children's menu, so I suggest that you actually produce a revision card just on that content to do with how you would actually create a meal suitable for a child. But some of the key things that I want you to recognize within that actual paragraph that are on there is never, ever, ever put fried food on a menu that you are creating for a child, all right? Or if you're analyzing a child's menu and there's fried food on there, that is a problem. So no chips, no chicken nuggets, no burgers. Try to avoid anything that has been fried in fat, because clearly that's not going to meet our healthy eating guidelines. Also, you want to avoid foods that are high in salt and high in sugar. So you're trying to actually create healthy menus when you are menu planning for children. So notice it talks about how the drinks should be healthy as well. So avoiding sugary fizzy drinks, things like Coke and lemonade, and replacing them with maybe juices, milk, water. So go down through there, make sure you know that content really well, because it's a very common question. It's menu planning for a child, or analyzing a menu that has been designed for a child. That question comes up a great deal. Now, if you have a look at page 61, this would be a very similar format to analyzing a menu within an exam question. And what they would do is they'd actually give you some dishes on a menu. They would give you a scenario, so for example, a child's birthday party or someone who is lactose intolerant, and they would ask you to analyze or adapt the menu. And the idea behind this is what you do is you'd go through and you'd identify all of the problem ingredients. So this dish is too high in fat, or if it's for a diabetic, you can't have that pudding because there's lots of sugar in it. And then you would suggest ways in which you can either change it or improve it. Okay, so maybe an alternative, or actually changing some of the ingredients within a dish. So again, have a read through this example so that you've got an understanding of the structure and the approach that would be taken when looking at a dish, looking at a specific dietary requirement, and then how you would go about changing that dish to make it more suitable. Okay, now's probably a good time to stop so that you can have a really good read through the content that's found within that page. Right, once you've read through that content, you can obviously have a go at the questions on page 62 and page 63. And again, there's lots of elements that relate to this within the revision PowerPoint, the chapter 4 squares that's based on this topic area. Now, another thing that it would be really good idea to do at this stage is to start thinking of potential menus. Okay, so start thinking of maybe two starters, two mains, two puddings, and link it to a child. Okay, so what would a child eat? Maybe do the same thing for a vegetarian, do the same thing for an old person. Come up with four or five different scenarios and say to yourself, what dishes would be suitable for that specific target group, and come up with a couple of reasons why. Okay, moving on to page 64, we're looking at portions and costing. Okay, it's a very short chapter, so you should be able to get through this within a few minutes, and it should be pretty straightforward. What you want to end up with is a couple of revision cards linked to portion control and then one on costing. You should know about all of this because this is stuff you've actually done for your exam, so it should be fairly straightforward content. Again, these are more your sort of middle length questions, your 3 and 4 point questions, whereas the previous questions on menu planning might be as many as 8 to 10 points. Okay, so the initial content talks about how we would approach portion control. And the first thing we would need to do is actually decide on what a portion should be. And a really clever thing to do is actually to analyse how much food comes back on a plate from customers, because this will give you a good indication if you're giving the right amounts. If there's regularly lots of food left, then you know your portion sizes are too big. If the plates are always empty, then possibly you might be able to afford to give a little bit more. So the first thing is decide how much we need to give for each portion. Once we've then done that, we then need to decide how we're going to measure it each time, because clearly we can't count out 50 peas. We can't count out 13 chips. So it might well be that there's an item of equipment that you can use that's going to help you with portion control. And we can then use it very simply, very quickly. If you think about when you've been served food in the school canteen, they always use certain bits of equipment to actually dish up certain foods, because it makes it very simple, very quick, and very effective. And on page 64 at the base, you've got lots of examples there of things that are used for portion control. Okay, now once we've established what our portion size is going to be, we then obviously know from our recipe how many portions that's going to be. So let's take, for example, spaghetti bolognese, and we know that it makes 6 portions. We can then use that information when we're then working out the cost of something. Now, just like you did in your exams, when you worked out the total cost of a recipe, you divided it by the number of portions, and this gave you a portion cost. You can then use the portion cost to then calculate a selling price for that portion. And then what that will do is it will guarantee that when you sell that one portion, you're going to make enough profit to cover all of your overheads, cover the cost of food, and hopefully make some profit as well. So on page 65, it talks about how we need to work out what we're going to do in terms of working out that selling price. All right, and we've got a formula that you need to learn. Obviously, you've used it before, so it should be fairly straightforward. Now, in terms of when we're working this out, we need to work out, obviously, how much our ingredients cost. But what we can't work out is how much the electricity costs, or necessarily the staff wages in order to make a cake. So what we always do is we actually work out the cost of the food, and then we actually, if you notice the selling price per portion equation at the bottom, we say cost of one portion times by 100 divided by 40. And what that does is that enables us to factor in those other overheads, the electricity, the heating, the rent, staff costs, and also that level of profit that we want to make. So work through the example on page 65, have a read through it, make sure you've got a good understanding of it, but the